Blog Talk Radio.
Aftermath Show. This is your host, Will Coy, where we talk about everything in the post-apocalyptic genre. And I welcome you to the show today. I'm going to focus on the Logan's Run franchise, which was a novel that was published in 1967, then turned into a film, adapted to a film, came out in 1976. And a year later, shortly after, was on turned into a TV series on CBS, and Logan's Run series is a pretty interesting mix here of both science fiction and post-apocalyptic fiction. And although some would probably kind of look at it as more science fiction, you know, it the whole plot or the whole environment that the books and the movie and the series are set in are in a post-apocalyptic setting. So that's why I wanted to put the spotlight on Logan's Run. Also, there is news that it's going to be made into a real well. There's a remake of it of the film, and it's being going into production or the making of it right now. I think it's beyond just talks of remaking it. There's already some teasers out there for the remake, and there is some release date of 2010 or next year. So we'll take a look at that throughout the show here for the next 30 minutes. But right before I do, I did want to also just remind everybody, you know, The Road will be coming out November 25th. And I encourage you to if you want to look at some discussion on the book and on the movie itself coming up, you know, I'd encourage you to go to the IDMB website. You can click on, I think I have it set on my links there on the Blog Talk Radio page, and you can go on the forums over there and take a look and see what they're talking about the book and you know, the film being released in November on Thanksgiving. The big news really on The Road is lately the website, the official website for The Road, it's been revamped. They've got a whole new whole lot of new content on it, and a lot of some pictures. They have you know, real detailed information about the actors and the production, you know, the director, the production crew. They also have a really fascinating, pretty neat story there about the production, actually, under what's called Notes, the Notes tab on the website. And that I found that really fascinating, as they described how, you know, just basically going in bidding on this movie once the novel had been put out, and turning this into a movie, and how much I won't say it was a gamble, more or less, but how much other companies, movie companies, such, you know, so say Sony, MGM, Fox, out there kind of shunned away from it, scared because of the topic, and how they were able to bid on this and get it, and you know, to get to get the rights for the book turning into the film, and basically how they Hillcoat, you know, how he came into becoming the director, and a certain direction they took, even from Hillcoat to be real faithful to the book, basically, and to keep the storyline in the same feeling as you if you read the book, you know, to keep that in the movie as far as you know the real deep, you know, the post-apocalyptic view, you know, the desolate, the very, you know, dead type of environment that the road is set in. So I would definitely encourage you to check that out, the official website. I've got a link right on my website at Blog Talk Radio. You can also just go right to the, just put in the road in any search engine out there, and you can go directly to the official website and see all the new content, all the new stuff they have there. All right, we'll move on here to Logan's Run. Again, as I say, Logan's Run is pretty fascinating, pretty neat blend of science fiction and the post-apocalyptic genre. And the book was written by William F. Nolan and George Clayton Johnson, published in 1967, and it kind of depicts this dome city where, as you're being brought up in this society, pretty much everything is given to you, all your desires, all of anything that that you'd ever wanted is provided to you in this dome city. And life is pretty, as far as let's say, very easy, as far as obtaining everything from different pleasures and it's kind of all set in this dome world. Without going into too much detail, you can just, you can just run your imagination, all the different type of pleasures and everything that are somewhat legal and available to the population, to keep them very happy, very, very tranquil in the dome city. The only downside is that once you turn 21, your life is ended, and basically you go. Into what they call to a sleep shop, and you are basically you willingly execute yourself, and the way they determine when your time or when you're 21 is there's a crystal in the palm of your hand that basically tracks your life and the time of your life, and once it starts blinking, then you're towards your last day when you're 21, and when it turns black or when it ends, that is your time to show up at what they call a sleep shop and basically terminate your life. There are also people though that choose to become runners or to try to escape to a place called Sanctuary and not voluntarily have themselves put down. And as I said, they're called runners, and they're basically trying to escape to a place that's called Sanctuary, and where they can find free, I guess, not only just freedom, but just a place where you can grow old, live without all the the restrictions of ending your life. So there's this big urge for all these runners to find Sanctuary, which is kind of, and its name, a place of refuge, but I think in Sanctuary, in their minds, is kind of like this utopian, this is what what they're looking for as far as, the freedom of living their lives out the way they want to, basically. And in the book, it's basically the two characters are called Logan 5, no, I'm sorry, Logan 3 and Jessica 6. And basically, Logan 3, which is what you would call one of the Sandmen, and they are operatives of the police force, security force for the Dome City. And Logan's Three goes, basically becomes a runner and tries to, you know, and also as being a security force, being somebody that's a Sandman, has a little bit more info how things work in the Dome and how the security apparatus work. And he's able to, you know, maybe get through some of the barriers that they run into to find Sanctuary. But basically it just resolves around Logan 3 and Jessica 6 escaping from the Dome, going to look for Sanctuary. And in the book, it's I have not read the book, so I'm not I'm not going to say that, you know, I'm pretty clear on exactly the exact storyline, because now I've seen the movie and I've seen it many times in the series, and I'm going to go into that in a moment. But in the book, the computer system that controls Dome is buried beneath a mountain, Crazy Horse Mountain, and in the book. They try to get to the computer to either stop the apparatus, you know, the system going on in the Dome City. Without going too much, because that's really, I'm reading off a lot of different from online, from other descriptions of the book. I use a little bit of Wikipedia, so I'm kind of going through a little bit of understanding of what, you know, the exact they find, you know, go through in order to try to find Sanctuary, and which is a little bit different from the movie, which I'll, you know, going to explain here in just a moment. But interesting enough, Sanctuary in the book is a space colony near Mars, and that's totally different. And in that one, Logan and Jessica have to go to find a rocket at a space program off probably Cape Canaveral near in Florida, and they used a rocket to go to Sanctuary, which is on Mars. So that is a bit different from the film, but that sets up the film itself, which came out in 1976. So roughly, just a little bit about 8 years later. About 9 years later. 9 years later, and. Now, in the film version, and I have to say the film, when it first came out in 76, I didn't see it when it first came out. Actually, I caught it later, a couple of years later, because I'd say in 76 I was still, I was probably about 8 years old at that time. So I don't think Logan's Run was probably, even though I, you know, remember Star Wars and all that, was definitely there at the theater, but and Close Encounters. But in Logan's Run I saw a couple of years later, and I'd have to say it had a more futuristic, more science fiction feeling, you know, adaptation to it. The way, you know, visually as it was presented when you saw the movie. And it was kind of, I characterize it similar to a couple of the movies that I talked about a couple episodes back about Gene Roddenberry's Genesis 2 and Planet Earth, where there's this kind of, you know, the apocalypse happens, a nuclear war happens, 100 years of space of time, that couple of, a good amount of time elapses, and then there's this kind of reemergence of different, you know, people, societies, and that's pretty much kind of, you know, how a lot of these movies and shows back in the 70s kind of were geared on. In that sense, and I guess if you look at it, you know, nuclear war was a very serious realization or possibility in the 1970s during, you know, the Cold War, and a lot of the information, you know, back in those days of the destruction that could happen from the war, you know, was pretty total, and that kind of showed itself in the movies and the books and the shows that came out. And there's a real emergence of science, you know, with science fiction, and science itself could be man's salvation, you know, if not able to, you know, prevent nuclear war or to provide solutions, you know, to man's problems on the planet. In the future, you know, scientists and the science itself would reemerge and basically come to the rescue of man. And that's kind of how, you know, I kind of look at it. And I, as I said before, the Gene Roddenberry movies, pilots, again, Genesis 2 and Planet Earth, and the Logan's Run, I think they have kind of almost not similar, but a little bit of similarity in that aspect. And but in Logan's Run, it's also, like, as I said, it's set kind of, you know, in the future. First of all, the apocalypse or the nuclear war happens around the 20 seconds early, in like 2116 or 2118. So that's 100 years from now. So and from the time the nuclear war happens and the time where Logan takes place, Logan's Run, is another 100 years after the nuclear war. And the scenario there is that the nuclear war, once it was total, it basically destroyed all of civilization, everything on the planet. And this, what emerged was what we find out is not only just the Dome City itself, where Logan is, and where the plot and the movie and the books, you know, begin, but also this world outside the domes, where there are smaller, what we find are smaller little clips of societies and little villages and towns and cities in some cases, some somewhat futuristic, some modern, contemporary looking, some very primitive. And so there's this kind of real, as far as technology, a real differential difference between many of the societies and out there in this post-apocalyptic timeline, as far as when Logan Run's happening. And that kind of goes into the TV series, but as far as looking out into, and that was another reason why I believe the TV series was actually made, because in the film itself, you know, it takes place, most of the movie, at the very beginning, in the Dome City, and you get a pretty good, you know, feeling, or a pretty good, you know, idea of how things, you know, perform, or how things are, you know, everyday life is kind of like inside the dome. It's very, you know, clean, soft, modern, very contemporary, futuristic, clean, you know, kind of people having fun all the time, all kinds of different activities and this and that going on. And Logan 5, once he begins to, or once he decides he's going to run also, but also in the book, in the movie, he's actually, the computer itself that runs the dome, actually orders Logan 5, basically, actually, it changes his crystal to being, you know, basically dead, you know, to go for renewal, to go, you know, basically to end his life. So he's already has to run anyhow, because the computer has basically forced him to you know, by changing his crystal, to go ahead and put himself down or to find sanctuary. But he's ordered to anyhow, because he brings what they call an ankh. It's a necklace, or it's actually a relic. It's a symbol that he brings to the computer, and it analyzes the ankh, and it basically then associates it with sanctuary, and it orders him, obviously, to locate, to go running, and to find sanctuary, and to basically destroy or to find out where sanctuary is, and that's where the movie goes from outside. Both Logan and Jessica escape from the dome and find themselves into the later post-apocalypse Washington, D.C. area, where they find an old man, Peter Ustinov, played by Peter Ustinov, and then they eventually most of the movies also, they're being chased by other runners, in this case France, I think, yeah, by his name is Francis Seven, And there's a big, you know, obviously a scene there. Once Francis Seven catches up with Logan and Jessica, and you know, a big, you know, the you know, won't say fight, but yeah, I guess, you know, a big fight breaks out between them two, Logan and Francis, and eventually Logan, you know, prevails. And he brings Jessica and the old man back to the dome, where they attempt to try to bring the people outside of the dome, to let them know that it is safe to go outside. And that was also another aspect of being outside the dome. They were always told, or they believed, that outside the dome they would die, that they could not survive. So there was, you know, that also being reinforced on them. Into that belief, and there was nowhere to run and nowhere to go. And but the few runners, obviously, that were able to get outside the dome, and Jessica and Logan, in this case, once they escape from the dome, they find it, you know, that it is livable. There's plenty of plant. Everything's alive still. So, but once they find the old man and get away from Francis Seven, they are basically they go back to the dome and then try to bring the people out. And in the film, there's obviously, you know, a moment there where they are all released out of the dome through a large explosion that happens, and they all come to the old man, who I guess basically leads them out into the there's nothing really out there. So actually, in that, you know, Logan, that would have been a pretty interesting story there to find out, you know, what happened, you know, with how were they able to adapt, or were they, you know, but yeah, that's a whole other, I guess, know all the story. But that leads to the series itself, TV series, which came out just a year later. And the TV series I could still remember it even today, some of them. And as I was going back through this week, getting ready kind of to do this Logan's Run show, you can go to YouTube, and you'll find on there posted are the original pilot series, and another episode called The Collectors, and another one called A Man of Time. And I listed that on my website at Blog Talk Radio as my YouTube video of the week, so I definitely encourage you to check it out. They're posted on there by gentlemen or gentlemen or people or persons called Cypress Corners. And they have several other different, post-apocalyptic type or other movies, films, and clips that you might be interested in taking a look at. But it reminded me, as I was watching this on YouTube, Man of Time, how interesting it was, really, for in a lot of ways, pretty. Because the series came out in roughly about 1977, and you know, other than, I guess, Planet of the Apes had already come and gone by the early 70s, and I was trying to think of some others. Then, as we talked about earlier, some of the Gene Roddenberry's his attempts came out, and then also, you know, Logan's Run. It had some pretty good storylines, pretty interesting subject matter, and it really centers on Logan and Jessica, are these characters escaping from the dome, really almost similar to what we saw in the film, and what their adventures and what they discover outside the dome. And it makes for pretty interesting television. It was now, it only lasted, they had 13 episodes. It was one series before it was cut. But it was, you know, reminded as I was looking back at it, some of the science fiction back then was really good. And, again, the man out of, sorry, the episode I was talking about was called Man Out of Time. You know, it's a pretty interesting concept in that where a time traveler comes from the past or from the time 2118, just before the nuclear war, and travels to the future, to Logan's time, and tries to learn the information that caused the nuclear war, so then he could get back and go back in time and then stop the cause of it. And, you know, taking the information that he, you know, knows of what started the nuclear war, then he could maybe change time, change the events, and thus change things so that the nuclear war never occurs. This gives you the plot of the episode, and it's pretty interesting, fascinating little series, and you can catch it on YouTube, and I encourage you to do it. Now, the post-apocalyptic scenario of this probably is more so when you see the series, the TV series, I haven't read the book, and it'd be fascinating. I definitely looking forward to getting that. That's definitely on my list. And I'd like to see how in the book's written, some of the post-apocalyptic environment is described in the book. In the film, it's kind of seen very vividly, actually, once they get to Washington, and you see the crumbling old monuments that are decaying from the time, but also there's this very sense of, you know, things had ended and stopped, you know, at that time, 100 years before, and some of the old relics, like the Lincoln Memorial, are still intact, although with a lot of growth, and the U.S. Capitol is being overrun with cats, but the visuals of Washington D.C. And the environment, and then walking through the National Mall, the pool, you know, gives that real kind of post-apocalyptic view, and so that's definitely another reason why, you know, this is well need to be showcased here on the Aftermath show. And I think TV series kind of even goes into more of that because they're traveling, obviously, as I said before, the outside of the dome, and you see some of the little aftermath societies, some primitive, very maybe a religious cult, some very futuristic or very modern, very technical societies, and the different aspects of what the what had evolved after the nuclear war, and what had happened, what's been going on outside of the dome. So, and the dome itself is somewhat futuristic, probably of the time it was around 2018. Obviously, they have very sophisticated computers that are maintaining the dome itself, the environment. You know, it's a very friendly environment, as I said before, comfortable environment, and the outside it's a little bit more rugged and harsh and you see people surviving on a more harder scale, trying to farm or hunt, gather, those types of things. But it, as I said before, the TV series itself kind of goes in a little bit more into the post-apocalyptic scenario part of this. But again, the book and the movies and the show, it's a very good balance of science fiction and post-apocalyptic fiction, and I love the how it intermingles in the way Logan Run is laid out and as it's shown to you. Now, as I mentioned earlier, also there's a remake in the process. I'm gonna read just a little bit of this, and this will kind of give you an idea of where they're at on the remake. It says here, in August 2007, the project was reinvigorated with Joseph Kosinski hired as the new director and new script being written by screenwriter Timothy J. Sexton. Kosinski had made a presentation to Warner Brothers, including graphic art, animated pre-visualization that illustrated his plan for the film. Woe's low budget appealed to the studio. Currently, the remake is scheduled for 2010 release date and is being directed by Kosinski and directed by Silver Pictures. Looking at a possible release here, I guess, in 2010. Let me just say that for any, you know, there's some movies you might just want to say, you know, leave that alone. Don't remake it. Don't, you know, and I could go through a list of those. But probably a movie I probably would say that probably would deserve a remake or something more, because when you look at Logan's Run now, and even back now, it's funny because back in 76, it looked so futuristic, it did. And when you look at it now, it still holds up, the film does. Series probably didn't have some of the best, you know, visual effects, special effects. But and this being, you know, like I said, science fiction, the movie really did, it was kind of cutting edge looking as far as the look and the science fiction appeal to it and the visualizations of it. Of a movie that probably could use a really remake, a really probably, I would probably be interested in seeing, would probably be Logan's Run, because with today's CGI and the different, and also the cinematography nowadays, wow, if some they put the right mix together, could you see a future, I mean, a real, you know, in today's cinematography, they could remake the Dome in a way, just real futuristic, and, you know, I just think that it probably would be pretty, I'd like to see a little bit more, obviously, of what that could look like, and that looks like that's going to be the case. On the Blog Talk Radio, on my page there, you can go and you can see that you can see basically the teaser for the remake that's coming up. All right, real quickly, just want to say, just check out my YouTube video of the week. That's the episode Man Out of Time, and that's on YouTube, and that's that from the TV series Logan's Run. You know, if you've never heard, if you know, if you're obviously, if you're over, say, 30 or 35, you probably heard of Logan's Run, you've probably seen the film. Good chance you probably want to see it again. It's kind of, you know, definitely, you know, worth seeing. It's one of those kind of movies that even to this day, it's the concept and of it, and it's still pretty good even today. The TV series is something that, yeah, if you're anybody over 40, it's deja vu. It's just, I love it. I think it's just great. I love watching these old. I just love sitting here sometimes, and it's really a lot of fun watching these Logan Run videos. And I definitely encourage you to watch Man Out of Time. Check out The Road, the official website. You're gonna love it. The new a lot of the new content that's on there, and obviously, like I said, the remake of look for the remake of Logan's Run coming out next year. So and as more news comes out about the remake, you know, I'll definitely share that with you. I think that's going to probably do it about for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll have more information probably on The Road coming up. I wanted to do a little bit of pros and cons on The Road, the movie, coming up. When I mean pros and cons, I mean some of the pros and cons about making something like The Road. I mean, it's as I said before, it was kind of interesting to hear in the notes how they bid on this and were able, were determined to make it into a movie. Yet, as we know, the subject matter is was kind of controversial, and some people were a little bit skirmish in doing it. So, again, I appreciate you listening, and we'll be back here next Tuesday. You have a good afternoon, and thank you for listening to the Aftermath Show.
On Plymouth Rock, if today any shock they should try to stem, instead of landing on Plymouth Rock would land on them. In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking, but now God knows anything goes. Good offers to who once knew better words, now only used for letter words, writing prose. Anything goes. If driving fast cars you like, if low bars you like, if old hymns you like, if bare limbs you like, if Mae West you like, or me undressed you like, why nobody will oppose. When every night the set that's smart is intruding at nudist parties in studios, anything goes. When a Mrs. Ned McLean, God bless her, can get Russian red to yes, then I suppose anything goes. When Rockefeller still can hoard enough money to let Mac Gordon produce his show. Anything goes. The world has gone mad today, and good's bad today, and black's white today, and day's night today, and that gent today you gave a cent today once had several chateaus. When folks who still can ride in jitneys find out Vanderbilts and Whitneys lack baby clothes, anything goes. When Sam Goldwyn can with great conviction instruct Anna Sen in diction, then Anna shows, anything goes. When you hear that lady mental standing up, now does a handspring landing up on her toes, anything goes. Just think of those shots you got, and those knocks you got, and those blues you got from those news you got, and those pains you got in any brain you got from those little radios. So Mrs. R, with all her trim, and can broadcast the bed from Simmons, cause Frank will know, anything goes.